Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone had a great Christmas, and we'll have a happy new year. Let's all stand as we sing, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet the songs repeat. A peace on earth and will to men. Like a choir they're singing, and my heart I hear them, goodwill to me. And in despair I bow my head. There is no peace on earth. Hate is strong in my song. A peace on earth and will to men. And the bells are ringing. Like a choir they're singing. In my heart. They ring the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way. The world revolves from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chance of life. A peace on earth and will to men. And the bells are ringing. Like a choir they're singing. And with our hearts. Do you hear the bells that are ringing? Like angels singing. Open up your hearts and hear them. For peace on earth and will to men.
Remember, Going to continue collecting for Lottie Moon Christmas offering this morning. And then this evening, we'll give you the evening off to spend the rest of time with family, friends, or clean up the house now that the family and friends have left, whichever comes first. So, and have that. And then Wednesday, there'll also be no Awana or youth meetings. They'll continue on the Christmas break. And then we'll put down the calendar the statewide evangelism conference coming up in January. Any other announcements? No? Let's open with prayer. Praise the name, Father, we just thank you for this time we can come together. Lord, thank you for the time we've got to spend with family and friends and just remembering Jesus' birthday, Lord, and you sent the Savior for us. Lord, we just ask you to be with this time this morning. And Lord, I just want to take a moment and lift up the Wheatley family this morning, Lord, that you just wrap them in your arms and give them comfort. And be with the entire family as they go through this time, Lord, and they see you through all of this. Lord, we just ask you to be with this time this morning as we sing praises to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Roger. Okay, let's all stand, and we're going to sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silence lost by night, behold.
Ride on my Oh, your mercy never fails me in all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life you have been faithful. In all my goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me to the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived goodness of God. In all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Yet not I, but through Christ lives in me. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer?
Thank you for being here today and being a part of this service. Seems like it's been a long time since we've seen one another. We don't have a midweek service, and we're headed for another one of those. But we'll get things headed back off the first of the year and be full swing again. We certainly want to be praying for the Wheatley family and keep James and his family lifted up. And when we know the details of when those services will be, we will we'll let you know about that. I think they've made a request to use our church because of the size of it. And so we'd be glad to honor them with that. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. You've probably heard this story before. You've probably heard it several times. Our family has the custom of reading this before we exchange our gifts on Christmas. And, by the way, thank you again for the generous money tree. We really do appreciate that. That's certainly a size that fits all. And thank you very much for that. Appreciate all those Christmas cards. We always feel like we cheat because we don't send out Christmas cards and other people do, and we get pictures of their families, and we're always thrilled to get that and hang those in the hang them on the refrigerator in different places, and it's a good reminder. We've got some family with us this morning, Madison and Faith and Carter. Can y'all remember when Madison was about the size Carter is now? That time passes fast, doesn't it? And we're grateful to have them. We had the privilege of having a big part of our family with us yesterday, although we didn't have all of them, but we had a lot of them. Gwen fed 32 for supper last night, and we had a big Christmas supper together, and that was a lot of fun. We had a few missing. We had three grandsons, and their families weren't able to be there, but we had a good size group anyway. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, the Christmas story in Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You may be seated. There's just so much in the Christmas story that there's so many angles that we could look at as we look at all the different events that took place. I think one of the discoveries that I made this past week, and I've asked a couple folks about that, but where are the words that of Joseph recorded in the scripture? He is the husband of Mary, and he was greatly involved in the birth of Jesus, taking his family to Bethlehem. Well, I discovered that Joseph just never did say anything that was recorded. His thoughts are recorded, but not anything that he said. Another little discovery that I made this week, and you may have already known this already, but I was looking at all the prophecies. I didn't look at all of them, but I had a list of 350 prophecies of the Old Testament of Jesus' first coming to earth. 350. And I didn't do enough research to be able to tell you they were in every book of the Old Testament, but that would not surprise me. The ones that I looked at, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all of those had prophecies of the first coming of Jesus, Jesus coming as Emmanuel, and dwelling among us as our Savior. One of those that stood out to me as I was reading that list, I saw where one of those prophecies was called the Ladder of Jacob. Had you ever heard that before? I mean, I know about the Ladder of Jacob. I know that when Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau, that he landed upon this place and he laid down and used a stone for his pillow, and he dreamed a dream and he saw a ladder. You know about that? The ladder that extended to heaven. And it says that the angels of God were ascending and descending on that ladder. Had you ever thought about how many angels are there? There's not a record in the scripture of how many. We know that Jesus said to the disciples when he was arrested there in the garden, and Peter cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, that Jesus said to his disciples and to Peter, "Did you not know that I could have called 10 legions, 10,000 angels if I'd have wanted to?" And the number is not given in Scripture. Some believe that there's thousands and thousands of angels, and they're with us now. They're here. We just don't see them. Sometimes we see them, and they just look like us. Sometimes, like when the disciples saw them, it was a fearful thing that they saw. Anyway, back to Jacob's ladder. And I thought, how is that? How can that be a prophecy of the coming of Jesus? And so, of course, there was a another scripture given for me to go in the New Testament and look at that. And when Jesus was talking to Nathanael, and I might get these names wrong, you can correct me later, but didn't Andrew bring him to Jesus? If I'm wrong, correct me. When he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "An Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And he immediately realized this is the Messiah. This is Christ. This is the Christ. This is the one that is sent to save the world. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, you're surprised because I know you. This is Lanny's translation. You're surprised because I knew you. I saw you under the fig tree, and I knew you then. You're surprised about that? He said, "You're going to see angels ascending and descending, listen to me, on the Son of Man, on Jesus." And I had never seen that. I've been studying the Scripture for 50 years. I had not seen that. I had read that verse, no telling how many times, but I had not seen that Jesus is the ladder. And what a revelation that when God sends His Son to us, there's all this evidence, if we needed it, all this evidence of the Old Testament, all the way from Genesis, all the way through. And when we study the Scripture, we begin to see all those prophecies of the Old Testament, and they're coming true in Jesus. I want us to look at just some of that today as we look at some of these Scriptures. And I think it's so marvelous. The Word of God is, the Bible says it's alive, it's quick. It's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And then it goes on to say, and the intentions of men's heart. Isn't that something? That the Word of God cuts through to the intentions of men's hearts. You see, when God looks at us through His Word, and we read the Word, and then we discover, well, it's reading us. We read the Word, it's reading us. And we're making this discovery that He's not looking on the outside of men. He's not looking at how wealthy they are, how tall they are, how well they've done in business, or how much they know, or what their degrees are in, or what their work is about, but He looks past that directly into the intentions of men's hearts. What is the intention of your heart? Can you imagine that here we have living within us the Holy Spirit, and He's constantly aware of the intention of our heart? Are you ever a hypocrite? You ever put on a show? I heard a guy told my brother one time, he said, if you don't want your kids to lie to you, just don't question them too severely. If I'm ever tempted to lie, it's when my wife is interrogating me about something that I don't want to talk about. But you see, the Spirit living within us, He knows the intention of our heart. No matter how hypocritical we are on the outside and how we may act on the outside, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the intentions of our heart is. We're going to look at some of that. So I want us to see three things in the meaning of Christmas in this story that we've just read. First of all, I want us to understand that it's the child of promise. Jesus is not Plan B. never has been, never will be. He's always been the plan of salvation for man. Always. It wasn't that the Old Testament and the law failed and Moses failed and everybody failed and then they decided to get Jesus. No, he's always been the plan. It's always been the plan. Look at the Old Testament. Read the Old Testament through. You'll discover that Jesus has always been the plan. Back in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, there's the first prophecy of his coming, that her seed is going to crush the serpent's head. Do you know what that means? That one of these days, the devil's coming to an end. Now, I have no idea about what heaven's going to be like. We read some about it in the Scripture. We know it's going to be a great place. But I think that one of the greatest things about it that I see from my perspective is that there is no sin in heaven. There's no sin. There's no putting on. There's no hypocrisy. There's no one trying to be something that they're not, or trying to make someone think that they're something that they're not. There's no hypocrisy there. It's a place of no sin. He's the child of promise. Secondly, I want us to see that he's the incarnation of God. That's a big old word for me. That we don't use a great deal in our language, but he is the incarnation of God. He is Emmanuel. He is God come to live with us. That's what the word means. That's what incarnation is. It is God robed in humanity. And then thirdly, he's the hope of the world. I'm telling you, folks, I could preach all day and just say this one word and it'd be all the preaching that we needed. He's the hope of the world and he is the only hope of the world. But it's more than that. He's your hope and he's my hope. He's your only hope in life. He's it. There's not any other. I'm telling you, you can get the greatest job that there could be. You could be involved in the greatest business that there possibly could be. You could make lots of money. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your only hope. There is no other way. And there is no other way for anyone else. There's not two or three ways to get to heaven. There is only one. And Jesus is it. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. He's it. He is it. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Let's look at the meaning of Christmas is the child of promise. In prophecy, the seed of the woman shall crush Satan's head in Genesis 3 and verse 15, but there's lots of others. Look with me in the book of Genesis. I don't know if we have this on the board or not. Genesis 22:18. You got the same chance I do. I don't have it marked either. I did look at it a little bit ago, so maybe this page will come open. Genesis 22:18. Yeah. Now, the Lord's talking to Abraham. You see, in the Old Testament, Abraham is a picture of Christ for us. And we see that all through his life. I mean, it's a promise of the land. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He has this promise that all the world would be blessed through his seed. Now look at this. This is a great verse. And in thy seed, you've got to catch it here. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, let's follow up on that. Look at Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at Galatians 3 and look at verse 16. 3 and verse 16. And here Paul is writing to the Galatian church, and he's explaining the coming of Christ. He's explaining the gospel. And he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. You have to look closer, you'll miss it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds. Did you see it? As of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. And then he explains it, which is Christ. Christ, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Isaiah, the seventh chapter, Isaiah is full of prophecies of the Lord's coming. Isaiah 7, look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. I mean, it's full of it. The Old Testament is full of it. He's pointing to Jesus, just constantly pointing to Jesus. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name, here it is, God with you. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with you. Now, move on over to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and look at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Where did Joseph take his family? And who was he kin to? Here it is. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth. Now he moves. He moves. He's moving through history really fast. Really fast. I don't know how much the Lord surrendered of his deity when he came as the God-man. He surrendered some. Now we know that he was hungry. We know that he got tired. But he also could read men's thoughts. So that part of his deity, he didn't. We don't know of him walking through walls until after the resurrection. We know that angels can, but we don't see Jesus doing that until after the resurrection. And we don't know exactly how much of his deity that he gave up. But here the Bible says that He shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall, here he goes, he's changed, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He's moved into the revelation period. He has moved into the to the time of the end, and as we continue to read, let's see, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Here it is, and the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, on the snake's den. He's moved into the thousand-year reign of Christ. As he gives those prophecies, he moves right on from Emmanuel being with us until the thousand-year reign. The meaning of Christmas is the incarnation of Christ. It means that God has come down and is dwelling. Can you believe it? The Creator of the universe became an embryo, then a fetus. He formed hair and fingernails and so on. And at the appropriate time, he was born into the world. He poured himself out into the form of a man. In the book of Philippians, the second chapter, and verse 6, the Bible says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 6 says, being in the form of God. What is the form of God? When Jesus visited with the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of John, he told her that God was a spirit. The Old Testament describes the form of God as brilliance, indescribable, like a fire. Glory was their definition many times. In John, the first chapter, I won't read all that, but John says, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Finally, the meaning of Christmas is found in the hope of the world. Jesus was born in a world of violence and darkness and hopelessness to bring hope. You read that story about Herod and the slaughter of those children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem trying to kill Jesus. He was born at a time when being a boy baby wasn't real popular, same as Moses was born at a time when being a boy baby wasn't popular. He came to bring hope to the hopeless. Ephesians, the second chapter, tells us that that's us. Look at verse 12. That at that time, You see, men are born into the world. Men, women, boys, and girls are born into the world with a sin nature, with the nature to sin. And they're sinners. And Paul said, Jesus died for the sinners, whom I'm chief. And so when he was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, and Nicodemus had come to him at night, I don't know all the explanation of that. Maybe he didn't want to be seen with Jesus because he was a religious leader. The Bible says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said to Jesus, "How is it that I can see heaven?" And Jesus said, "There's just one way. You have to be born again. There has to be a spiritual new birth in your life." Now, there's some denominations that believe that if you bring your baby to church as a baby and have the priest or the pastor to sprinkle some water on that baby, that it's going to be saved and that it'll go to heaven when it dies. Well, I want you to know that's a lie. There is no truth in that. It's nowhere in the Scripture. Jesus never said anything like that. It doesn't do not one iota of good. I've talked to folks, and I'd ask them about their baptism, and they'd say, "Well, I was sprinkled as a baby." And I just say, "Well, honey, you hadn't been baptized. You just have not been baptized." When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in that third chapter, he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. There has to be a change take place in your life. And if there's no change that takes place when you die, the Bible says that you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. You won't go past go. You won't go someplace and be there for a while folks try to pray you out of purgatory. There is no such place as that. You go straight to hell. The Bible gives us all the indication that we need. Whenever Lazarus died in the New Testament, Jesus tells the story. There was a rich man. And there was a beggar named Lazarus. The rich man died and he went to hell. And being in torment, the Bible says, that he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he asked Abraham to send Lazarus back and tell his five brothers, warn them not to come to this terrible place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels, for those that are not born again, those who do not choose Jesus. And Abraham told the rich man, "There's a great gulf fixed between me and you, and no one passes from here to there, nor goes from there to here." And that's as plain as a nose on your face. There's no changing it after you die. There is no changing it after you die. You've been given this time on this earth to make a decision for Jesus. Jesus called it in the third chapter of John, new birth. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So there has to be spiritual new birth. We were at one time, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 12, I'll find it here after a while, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in your without God in the world. That's the lost. No hope. No hope. The only hope is Jesus and accepting Him as your Savior and being born again. In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, I don't want to misquote that. I want to make sure we see what that says. John is in prison. He's about to be beheaded. Jesus' popularity is rising. John said, "I must decrease, He must increase." That's what's taking place. John's getting ready to get his head cut off. And he'd already said that Jesus was the Christ. He'd already said when he baptized Jesus and Jesus was coming to him, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. But yet, he's human. And in this difficult situation, perhaps, he's grown to a place that he's discouraged. And so in the third verse, John sent word to Jesus, and he said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" These next verses are wonderful. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." I think that's great. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Great words. And they're for us. Let's stand together. Mike, if you'll come and help us. The gospel is Jesus Christ. His sinless life, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, and His ascension into heaven, and He's coming back. If you're here today and do not know Him as personal Savior, I want to give you an invitation to step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, or one of these other men that's standing here with me, and say, I'm not saved. I want to get saved today. I want to trust Christ as my Savior today. It's as simple as you giving your life to Jesus. It's not going to church, although you're supposed to. It's not being baptized, though you're supposed to. But it's a changed life. It's change that Jesus makes in our heart and in our life. I want to urge you to make that decision today. So we're going to sing a song of invitation, give you an opportunity to make that decision for Christ right now. As we sing, you come.
Place where sin cannot molest. Thank you, Brother Lanny, for the message this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning at Osage Baptist Church. I want to close us in prayer. Father, thank you that you did come and you came from heaven to be with us. You gave up your divinity to come and be and partake in our humanity. And God, thank you for that, for the way that you did it, Lord. I just pray for anyone here this morning who has not received you by faith, that they would do that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.